until they finally, ultimately have to act on our behalf instead of their own, saving their own political asses. Thanks for listening today. Been a pleasure having you. Appreciate the guests being on today. Thank you, Ray, Rick, and Tina.
This is the Quality News Network. This evening, President Bush will address the nation from the Oval Office to announce that he will withdraw 30,000 troops from Iraq by next July, starting with 5,700 by the end of this year. That will bring the U.S. force in Iraq back to pre-surge levels of 130,000. The president will ask Americans in the primetime televised address to be patient and take a fresh look at the war in Iraq. Most Democrats are not satisfied with the president's decision. Democratic Senator Carl Levin, the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, says the announcement, quote, creates and provides an illusion of change. In Iraq today, a top Sunni sheikh from the Anbar province who was working with the U.S. to battle al-Qaeda was killed by a roadside bomb near his home. His cooperation was key to the recent alliance between the Sunnis and the U.S. to counter al-Qaeda, and officials say his murder will be a setback for U.S. efforts. The latest NBC Wall Street Journal poll finds that President Bush's approval rating on the Iraq war has gone up slightly. 30% now say they approve of how President Bush has handled the war. That is up from 22% who approved in July. Saudi Arabia may skip an upcoming Middle East peace conference aimed called by the U.S. Saudi leaders say unless it addresses the Palestinian refugee situation, they will not attend. Two additional strong earthquakes hit the Indonesian island of Sumatra today, a day after yesterday's powerful 8.4 magnitude quake. A little more than a dozen people have been killed. Although the aftershocks continue, the tsunami threat warnings have been canceled. A day after he announced his resignation, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was hospitalized. He is said to be suffering from stress and exhaustion. Doctors say he will be in the hospital for at least 3 to 4 days. Former Governor of Virginia, Democrat Mark Warner, today announced that next year he will run for the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by Republican Senator John Warner. Along parts of the Texas and Louisiana coast, Tropical Storm Umberto caused flooding and at least one fatality. There are also power outages affecting 100,000 customers in the area. It was the first named storm to make landfall since 2005 when Hurricanes Katrina and Rita struck. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business Next.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway, carmel.com.
USA Today reports that as early as next season, Major League Baseball could have a blood test that detects human growth hormone. However, Major League Baseball and the Players Union need to agree to the testing first. Bank of America announced it is increasing the surcharge that non-customers pay for using its ATMs nationwide. The fee will go up from $2 to $3. Charlotte, North Carolina-based Bank of America has the most ATMs in the U.S., more than 17,000. Former Federal Reserve Chief Alan Greenspan admitted today that early on he didn't see the harm that the number of people with bad credit who were given home mortgages could cause to the U.S. economy. The Labor Department reports today that last week the number of new unemployment benefit claims filed went up by 4,000 to 319,000. It is the sixth time the number has increased in the past 7 weeks. For the second day in a row, the dollar hit a new low in trading against the euro. Gold is trading at 700 $617.90 an ounce. Light sweet crude has been trading above the $80 barrel mark today, setting a new record high. It is currently trading at $80.09 a barrel. And near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones is up 133 points, the NASDAQ up 9, the S&P 500 up 12. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramoff.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Today, of course, is September 11th, 2007, the sixth anniversary of when 19 terrorists, most of them from Saudi Arabia, hijacked four American airplanes and crashed two of them in the World Trade Center, one in the Pentagon. One crashed in Pennsylvania, killing approximately 3,000 Americans. Since that day, 6 years ago, the Bush administration has used the terrorist attacks to justify a whole host of things. A war in Afghanistan that most of us supported, a war in Iraq that Americans used to support until they found out that there was no connection between Iraq and 9/11, and other things such as tax cuts and civil rights violations and so forth. But what was most interesting today, as I listened to the testimony of General Petraeus, the long hoped for messiah of the Bush administration they've been waiting for, the person who would single-handedly allow the president to continue a strong troop presence, indeed all our available troops, in Iraq until the day that he is no longer in office, which of course has been Bush's goal in Iraq. As I listened to him, I noted how rare it was, indeed, that there was any discussion about the people that attacked us on September 11, 2001. That group, Al-Qaeda, is stronger than ever. You would think after killing 3,000 Americans, and you would think after a president of either party, Republican or Democrat, that is devoted himself and his country to killing bin Laden, to capturing him dead or alive, to destroying, uprooting Al-Qaeda, you think he'd recognize that Al-Qaeda is stronger than ever, that it has a strong base of operations, not in Iraq, but in Pakistan, just across from where we let Osama bin Laden go at Tora Bora, and indeed is planning new horrible terrorist attacks, as we learned this week, were occurring in Germany. No, there was little discussion of Al-Qaeda and its base in Pakistan, its primary base. Instead, all the discussion was on Iraq, a war ostensibly brought to stop weapons of mass destruction. That turned out to be a lie. Ostensibly brought to stop coordination with the attackers of 9/11, that turned out to be entirely false. And now we have a war that, as conservative George Will has said, is a war still seeking a mission. The mission appears to be to continue the war. And so for all the wonderful success that General Petraeus says has somewhat occurred in Iraq, in other words, yes, like the game of whack-a-mole in your favorite arcade, when you hit that hammer down on the head of the mole, it does disappear in the one place that you hit it. It sure comes up later elsewhere. But you might as well cheer your success, right? You whacked one mole. But what moles have we whacked? What successes have we achieved in Iraq? Where is this all leading us? What are our goals here? The goals keep changing. The administration gave up the goals of WMDs and gave up the goals of connecting Saddam Hussein with Osama bin Laden, all right? Their goal then was a democratic, unified Iraq. That was the goal. And in fact, they sold the surge to us in March 2001 on the grounds that the surge was absolutely necessary to give Iraq the political space it needs. Remember those words of the president? The pause it needs, a dampening down of violence, so they could work together and break Sunni and Shia Muslim together. They would share the oil wealth. They would share the power. They would all create a democratic, unified Iraq, hold hands, sing kumbaya, and become really a model for the rest of the Middle East while still giving substantial money to American oil companies. Oh, and giving us permanent military bases there as well. The goal was to send the troops primarily to Baghdad and also to Anbar province, which had been particularly bad off, to try to give that time. Now, of course, the Iraqi parliament used that wonderful political space to which thousands of Americans were dying and being wounded for, hundreds of thousands of Iraqis were losing their lives for, and used that political space to, in August, take a two-month vacation. Well, glad to know they're doing well on their summer break. I hope they're using the $12 billion in missing cash. Well, maybe in Monaco. How about the Riviera? How about gambling in Las Vegas? At least that way they give some money back to America. I don't know where that money went. But clearly, the politics in Iraq are a failure. According to the General Accounting Office, the nonpartisan group in the Congress, they're bean counters, folks. They're accountants. Their job is just to tell us what's going on, not to favor one party or the other. According to the GAO, of the 18 benchmarks set by the Democratic Congress at the time when they cravenly gave more money to this administration, the one thing they got, the one thing, remember Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, the one thing they got was these benchmarks, and they would have a nonpartisan GAO, nonpartisan government accounting office determine exactly how many of these benchmarks were met, and out of 18, we have three. Three. Three benchmarks. Well, you know, we always knew that General Petraeus wouldn't write his own stuff. He claims he did, but the administration rewrote it, and apparently you can argue that there's five benchmarks. Okay, five benchmarks. But people are praising this messiah because apparently to some people who are surprised that when we send thousands of troops into Anbar province, apparently it helps them. Why? Well, because Al-Qaeda in Iraq was never that strong to begin with. See, the people of Iraq, believe it or not, just want to live in peace, and they also want to live under the control of their own people. The Shias don't trust the Sunnis. The Sunnis ruled Iraq for a long period of time under Saddam Hussein quite brutally. And the Sunnis don't trust the Shias. They are the majority. And they feared that with the majority will become the loss of minority rights. And they will soon be oppressed. And both sides have militias that are conducting ethnic cleansing back and forth. So there's no love lost between them. And then the only democratic light, I would say, but as close to democracy as you can get in the Arab Middle East, is the Kurdish population. And they don't want to be part of the Shias or the Sunnis. They actually like Americans. How many American troops have died in Kurdistan? Answer, zero. Not a single one that I'm aware of. And they don't want a part of the Shias or the Sunnis. Saddam persecuted them too. They've done quite well under our no-fly zones. And they want an independent country and, in fact, have an independent country. I argued, of course, against the war in Iraq, but after the war occurred, I argued that the logical way to deal with Iraq is the logical way to deal with any time you have people held together in an empire who are different, that you either use overwhelming force, as the Soviet Union did, as Tito did in Yugoslavia, overwhelming oppression force, or you allow the peoples to have their own self-determination. Soviet Union split into all its segments. Yugoslavia split into all its segments, not without some blood and ethnic cleansing, to be sure. There should be a Kurdistan, a Shia Iraq, and a Sunni Iraq. And you know what? That's not for Mark Levine to decide. It's not for America to decide either. That's where the Iraqis are headed. And when we come back, I want to talk about exactly how it is that the success, if you call it that, of the surge has helped destabilize Iraq for the future. We are farther away from a democratic, unified Iraq, and American troops are likely to be in Iraq, well, clearly until the next president of the United States. And if the Republicans win, we could be there a generation. If you want to call in and comment on General Petraeus' report or anything I've said, agree, disagree, question, please, please join in. The toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
On last night's show, we discovered a double murder-suicide involving three gay men in Orlando. A hate crime? Oh, hell no. Just your average log closet Republican three-way lover's quarrel. The only surprise here is that it didn't happen in a men's room. Strictly Confidential, 9 p.m. Eastern. You got the best love.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8, too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. General Petraeus arrived, they said, like a conquering Roman general to save the president. And what are the president's goals? Well, it's not WMDs. It's not fighting Al-Qaeda. It's not, apparently, even really a democratic Iraq anymore. Because what you really need to understand about the conflict in Iraq is this isn't a conflict about a foreign power. This is something that I've been saying, that Democrats have been saying, that anti-war people have been saying for years. It's an internal conflict. It's a conflict between Iraqis. Yes, exacerbated, no question, by the United States. It's not only by the United States, also exacerbated, no question, by Al-Qaeda, who wants to get in there and help the Sunnis, and by the government of Iran, which wants to get in there and help the Shiites. And both of them are looking forward to the upcoming civil war between them. And they each want to put their mark on it. They know Iraq is extremely weak. They're taking their pieces. We destroyed a solid country that was weak and really hardly harming anybody. We took Saddam Hussein, the relatively toothless tiger, took him out, brought on anarchy, and yes, everyone is grabbing their piece, and Al-Qaeda is grabbing their piece, and Iraq is grabbing their piece, and the United States we're grabbing our peace. So there is no peace in Iraq. But at the end of the day, it's basically a conflict between Iraqis. And in that way, it exactly represents a similar conflict in Vietnam. One of the things we never understood in Vietnam is that the conflict in Vietnam was not about the Soviet Union and the United States. Yes, we were supporting the South Vietnamese, no question. They were supporting the North Vietnamese, no question. But at the end of the day, it was a conflict between Vietnamese. And it was a relatively small conflict. There was a fire. There were sparks. And then we and the Soviet Union both came in and poured lots of gasoline on it. Here is my question. The conflict between Shia and Sunni is as old as Islam. It is 1,400 years old. In the 1980s, Iran and Iraq had a Sunni-Shia war that killed almost 1 million people. And that's horrible. Could we have stopped that? Are the Republicans today that are saying we need to be in Iraq until the war is over, are they saying we should have gotten involved in the 1980s? Because we're approaching 1 million dead now. And what's the difference between now and in the 1980s? The difference is we're there. I have no love for Al-Qaeda. None whatsoever. Al-Qaeda murdered 3,000 Americans. Al-Qaeda is out to radicalize a mostly peaceful Islamic population, to make them hate us, to strap suicide bombs on them, to kill us wherever they can. I want Al-Qaeda to be destroyed. I hate Al-Qaeda. I have no love for the government of Iran. The government, as distinguished from the people, I have a lot of love for the people of Iran. I've met a number of Iranians. In fact, every Iranian I've met has been a really terrific person. Not that everyone is, but everyone I've met has been. But the government of Iran is a dictatorship. It's a theocratic dictatorship. They persecute women. They persecute gay people. Their titular president, chosen by really the clerics, they gave the people two choices, and the people chose the more radical choice rather than the clerics' choice. They didn't allow the people to vote for a moderate choice. But Ahmadinejad, the face of Iran, has said the Holocaust didn't happen. And at the same time, he advocates another Holocaust. He advocates killing all the Jews, wiping Israel off the map. Later on, he said the regime. But what does the regime mean? It means making Israel no longer a Jewish state. How do you do that? There's only one way. Murder all the Jews. I don't like Ahmadinejad, and I don't want him to get nuclear weapons. And I don't want him to have power. So I don't like Al-Qaeda, and I don't like Iran, and both of them are fighting in Iraq. But there's the beauty of it. Who's in the middle between Al-Qaeda and Iran? Us. Now just think about this here. If you have two horrible enemies, and they want to fight each other, do you really want to get in their way? If Al-Qaeda kills terrorists from Iran and Iran kills terrorists from Al-Qaeda, isn't that a good thing? Isn't that a good thing? I mean, think about this here. We are standing in the middle fighting Iran, fighting Al-Qaeda, instead of letting these two brutal enemies of the United States kill each other. Now, do I feel sorry for the Iraqi people caught in between? I do. I really do. And I've met a lot of incredibly wonderful Iraqi people, and they're scared. And frankly, they're mostly leaving their country. 60,000, apparently, each month. Millions have left already. Indeed, one of the reasons why civilian violence is down is because there's been so much ethnic cleansing already. It's very, very ugly. And are we at fault? Yes, we're at fault. But are we helping making it better? We're actually making it worse. Because what are we doing? We are arming the Sunnis to fight Al-Qaeda, sure. But these are people, tribes that originally were killing Americans. Now they're supporting us against Al-Qaeda. Tomorrow they'll be attacking us again, along with our training and our weapons and all that wonderful blowback of 190,000 missing guns and 320,000 missing explosives. They're going to come after us again. And the Shia, they're not happy that we're arming the Sunnis. They have their own militias. The government of Iraq is supporting them, supporting Shia massacres. And both sides are learning all they can, just gearing up for the civil war. When we leave Iraq, will there be a massive, ugly civil war between Shia and Sunni? You bet there will be. Is that a reason not to leave Iraq? No. Because it doesn't matter when we leave. It doesn't matter if we leave tomorrow, or 6 months from now, or 5 years from now. How do I know this? I know this from history. Look at Tito and Yugoslavia. There was incredible, horrible ethnic cleansing and tension between Serbs and Croats, between Eastern Orthodox and Catholic and Muslim in Yugoslavia, and Tito ruled with brutal force and put it all down in 1948, and there was truce, let's say, for 50 years, and only enforced through brutality. And then when Tito died, boom, it all came back again. That's how it works. Either we rule with totalitarian brutality, the way Saddam Hussein did, the way Tito did, the way the Soviet Union did, or it all blows up and every country seeks to find their own ethnic group because they're the only ones they trust. There is a reason, my friends, why European boundaries are not straight lines. Think about it. What European boundaries are straight lines? None of them. None of them. Why? Because every line was fought for. There are lines along ethnic boundaries. The people who speak Spanish are largely in Spain. The people who speak French are largely in France. The people who speak German are largely in Germany. Italian, same difference. And everything was fought for. Europeans aren't special. They had the same ethnic cleansing and ethnic battles and everything. They just did them mostly in the 19th century, in the 18th century, and many, many centuries before. And until every ethnicity feels that they're safe, that they have their own state within their own country, they fear persecution by others. It's just the way the world works. And I know that, you know, people who support peace and want a one-world government wish it weren't that way. I wish it weren't that way, too. But I recognize reality. That's how the world works. So the question is not, will we stop the civil war in Iraq? The question is it worth deploying our entire U.S. Army and a bunch of the National Guard as well, taking away all our readiness to fight another enemy, a real enemy to the United States, whether it be Al-Qaeda or North Korea or Iran or Venezuela or anybody else, I don't know. All put in there to delay the absolutely inevitable Iraqi civil war. That is the question, and that's the properly framed question in my view. Not whether we can play whack-a-mole. I know we can play whack-a-mole. Yay-ha! I am glad, for the sake of our troops, that in Anbar province, we whacked them all. That there, we convinced Sunni tribes for a limited time to stand with us against Al-Qaeda until we leave again. And then they'll stand with Al-Qaeda. So either you believe that we need to have the bulk of our U.S. forces in Iraq indefinitely, and if so, I'd like someone just to justify that, or you understand that all we can ever do is delay the inevitable. Delay the inevitable. That, after all, isn't that been the Bush administration's goal all along? Delay, delay, delay. What is George Bush's goal in Iraq? It's obvious. It's obvious to anyone who's watching. His goal is that it not be lost on his watch. In his view, he'll keep the troops there until he's out of office. Then, whatever president withdraws the troops, whether it be Republican or Democrat, more likely to happen if it's a Democrat, at that time the troops will withdraw. It'll be a bloody civil war. It'll look a lot like the fall of Saigon in 1975. And then they can blame the Democrats for our defeat. Because if U.S. troops had been there, we wouldn't have been defeated just yet. We wouldn't have achieved any goals. We wouldn't have made America safer. We would have helped Al-Qaeda find a self-haven in Pakistan while North Korea develops nuclear weapons, Iran's power goes unchecked, all of that. But we wouldn't have lost. It's kind of like you ever played chess with someone and you got them cornered and you know you're going to win. And it's just a matter of time until you put them in checkmate. You have overwhelming forces. And so what do? Each move takes longer and longer and longer. There's only one place for your king to go, I say. They say, wait, I'm thinking. And they think for 30 minutes. And they hope you'll quit the game. But at the end of the day, they'll lose. But maybe they can substitute another player. And then they won't be blamed for the loss of the game. 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. Agree or disagree with me? What do you think of my analysis? What do you think of General Petraeus? Let me know. 877-4-HEAD-ON. I'll be right back after this.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. So here we go. Open wide, hold your nose, and swallow your propaganda pills. That's what Bush wants us to do with the Petraeus and Crocker crock. You know, their idea that the surge is working. That, as Bush so ridiculously put it on Saturday, normal life is returning to Anbar province, and that violence is down in other areas. Petraeus gets to say this because he's changed the way the Pentagon counts victims of sectarian violence. If you're a victim of Shiite-on-Shiite violence, you don't count. If you're a victim of a car bomb, you don't count. If you're shot in the front of the head instead of in the back, amazingly, you're not a victim of sectarian violence, you're a victim of murder. By this calculus, sectarian violence may be down, but murder way up. That's no solace to the victim, or to the family of the victim, no matter the classification. Here's the truth. More Iraqi civilians have died, more U.S. soldiers have died in the past 3 months than in any other summer of this war. So don't go swallow those propaganda pills. They're bad for you and for this country. Spit them out. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Anyone in politics will tell you that the person who frames the issue wins the debate. You know that people who believe that a woman has a right to choose whether or not she has an abortion, they call themselves pro-choice. Those that are against it are anti-choice. Who could be against choice if you believe the debate is pro-choice versus anti-choice? Well, the pro-choicers have won the debate. On the other side, they say they're pro-life, that those who support abortion support murder. They're against murder. Who could support murder? No one supports murder. If you believe that they have successfully framed the issue, are you pro-life or anti-life? Well, then, they've won the debate. In the war in Iraq, the debate is not over tiny little facts like how many civilians are dead or how much that our troops have succeeded or whether or not one more battalion of Iraqi army can fight or not. The question is, who will be allowed to frame the debate? And the president has changed his frame to suit the facts on the ground. As they said in the Downing Street memo, he is fixing the facts around the intelligence. In other words, if there are no WMDs, change the goal. If there's no Al-Qaeda, Saddam Hussein connection, change the goal. If there is no political reconciliation in Iraq, bringing about the unified Iraqi democracy that was promised to be a beacon to the Middle East, goal number three, change the goal. The goal apparently is, can we dampen down a little bit of violence in one province of Iraq? And we did. And I believe that we did. And I say, so what? General Petraeus said, and I quote, this is a direct quote from General David Petraeus, while noting that the situation in Iraq remains complex, difficult, and sometimes downright frustrating, I also believe that it is possible to achieve our objectives in Iraq over time, although doing so will be neither quick nor easy. Yeehaw! Wow! Full-scale invasion! I want you to take what he said and look at it in terms of an investment. All right? Somebody asks you to give you all of your life savings and says, in terms of whether we can give you 10 times back or 100 times back on your investment, I believe it is possible to do that over time, although it won't be quick or easy. And it's complex, difficult, and downright frustrating. Okay? Give me all your money now, and it's possible I'll give you 10 times it back. But it's difficult and complex and frustrating, and it won't be quick or easy. So I may need more money from you in the future. Would you make such an investment? You see what they're saying? There's a 1% chance that all of the people in the Middle East will get together, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya. So let's throw all of our best men and women's lives there, and all of our young people, and our billions of dollars, and all our resources, and all our hope, and heck, let's give up our way to defend ourselves if we're attacked again. Let's send our National Guard troops. We'll let the people in New Orleans die, 1,000 of them, and send the Louisiana National Guard to Iraq. We'll put all our eggs in one basket, and it's possible, Petraeus tells us, possible that we'll actually succeed. Is that good enough? Is that possibly good enough? Do you hear the Republicans' argument? It is possible that we'll succeed. Probable we'll fail. But if we leave, it's certain we'll fail. Great. And I'm supposed to pay, $100 billion a year for that? I'm supposed to keep putting money in this? I've already given you, in my investment example, I've already given you all my wealth. And now I'm supposed to pay you my income every single year in the hope that maybe one day you'll give me something back? When do we cut our losses? 877-4-HEAD-ON. Dave is on the phone. Dave, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Well, Mark, I think I agree with virtually everything that you've been saying, and you articulated it all very well. The critical, in my opinion, is that we are dealing with the most severely character-disordered people you could ever fear to have steal your government. And underlying everything is a grab for power and money in every way that they possibly can. It's the New World Order. Shift everything you can to the very richest of people ruling. And, yes, I think we now have a General Petraeus who is compatible with that kind of character. So I think that needs to be the emphasis. Any efforts at all to look at what we might do that would be right is not worth considering. That they've got their goal. We are in the Middle East for their profits. And as long as that's it, then it's no point in exploring what they they might somehow act to the best interests of the people. They're not about to do that. That's not them. That's not what they're about. That's my opinion.
No, I agree with you. And it isn't what they're about. And they're getting their, you know, oil profits and their so-called permanent military bases. But it's broader than that. There's a political goal, too. It's not just money. And I think Bush wanted to be very clear that the war in Iraq wasn't lost on his watch. So he had to draw it out, as I gave an example of the chess game. He had to delay. Now, he surges, and then he says, in this wonderful gift to the American people, Petraeus says, we will, in 6 months or a year, we'll take away the surge. Yay! It's kind of, again, I use my investment example. It's like a guy who takes $100 from you. And then they want, let's compare it to troops. We'll do a clear example with troops. He takes $130,000 from you, and then he wants $30,000 more because he says he needs $30,000 more in order to give you your money back, and so you reluctantly give him $30,000 more. And then a year later, he gives you the $30,000 back. You're still down $130,000, but he gives you the $30,000 he gave you back and says, "See, I have tremendous success." And you're like, well, where's my original $130,000? Well, you know, can't promise you that. But I gave you the extra money back. Aren't you happy? Well, no, I'm not happy. It's amazing that now, now we're withdrawing troops. The sad part is we don't have the troops to anyway. I mean, Petraeus is doing nothing more than he's absolutely required to do because we don't have a draft in this country, thank God. Because we don't have a draft, literally, because of troop deployments, which have already been extended, they have to come home anyway. We just don't have enough troops. We are literally running out of military. It's like an empty tub. We're out of water. The troops have to come home anyway, so now they're bringing home the troops, ending the surge, you know, in December or later, because they have to. And they're portraying it as this terrific victory. And the sad part is some people are falling for it. And I just think... Go ahead.
I don't think we're going to fall for that. Another big part, another component of what is going on that I think I'm learning clearly and firsthand from my own Congress member here is that any that are willing to accept it, these big war profiteers are quite prepared to buy any Congress member that's willing. So it's not
sure. Think of the power of the no bid contracts. I mean, that's billions of dollars of U.S. taxpayers. That's a huge profit. I mean, it's not like they have to succeed. All they have to do is succeed in bilking the American taxpayer. So, yes, right. A lot of people are getting very rich. In essence, what all this means, bottom line, is that no one should be surprised that the war will continue long until we finally elect a Democratic president of the United States. And then I think whether it's Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or anybody else, only then will we begin really to bring the troops home. It's the only way. The Democratic Congress just can't do it alone. They're just not powerful enough. I wish they were, and I know a lot of people are angry at them for not doing enough. They just don't have the power. It's a narrow majority. There's a few conservative Democrats that make the difference. The Republicans aren't helping. And the only way to do it is to win the presidency. It's just the only way to do it. And so we're going to have needless lives wasted. We'll probably have another 1,000 or 2,000 more deaths, another probably 10,000 more wounded. And all it will do is just delay the game, the inevitable day when a Democratic president, when she or he will send our troops home, there will be a bloody civil war, and Republicans will blame the Democrats for that civil war. I mean, it's predictable as the weather, more predictable, I think. Go ahead, give me the last word.
I think it's going to have to be some combination of Kucinich and Edwards if we really want to end the war.
I think Obama and Clinton would end the war. I think Richardson would. I think any of the Democratic candidates would end the war. I really do. You know, none of them are going to end it at day one, except maybe Kucinich. But because you can't. I mean, you physically can't remove all the troops in a day. There's just too many. I mean, 160,000, that's a small city. I think within a year of a Democratic president being elected, that the war will, mark my words, you elect a Democrat, and January 20th, 2009, the Democrat comes into office. By January 20th, 2010, you will finally have an end to the war. And then the Civil War will break out, and a bunch more Iraqis will be killed. And I would hope at that time we could at least recognize an independent Kurdistan, the one bright shining light in this that frankly was shining back in 1992. And at least that way, those that helped us, those Iraqis that risked their lives to help Americans, will have a safe haven, a place to go. Thanks for your call, Dave. I appreciate it. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you for what you do, Mark.
Thank you. And folks, if you want to call in, it's easy to do. Agree or disagree with me, 877-443-2366. 877-4-HEAD-ON on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Join us at Night Sounds this Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the very latest in new releases, one-hit wonders, and Erica Richards with Night Sounds Dedications. And remember, get your dedication in by emailing Erica Richards at BillyShearsMusic.com. Also, we'll have a listener's choice segment, so be there Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop, discussing the Petraeus Report. Got 10 minutes to go if you want to join in. 877-443-2366, 877-4-HEAD-ON. It is the 6th anniversary of September 11th, and yet the war on terror seems miles away. The discussion is the war in Iraq. And General Petraeus has a very clear mind, at least, about what is causing the war in Iraq. Let me quote. Petraeus said, quote, "The fundamental source of the conflict in Iraq is competition among ethnic and sectarian communities for power and resources. Unquote. I'm going to repeat that. Quote, the fundamental source of the conflict in Iraq is competition among ethnic and sectarian communities for power and resources. Unquote. General Petraeus, I couldn't agree more. It's a civil war. Yes, Al-Qaeda's on one side. Yes, Iran's on the other side. Yes, we're caught in the middle fighting both. It's a civil war. The country, Petraeus said, is experiencing a revolution, not just regime change. It is only by understanding this, Petraeus said, that we can appreciate what is happening in Iraq, as well as maintain a sense of realism about the challenges that remain. You're right, General Petraeus. It's a civil war. So what the heck are we doing there? Huh? It's a civil war that we helped give birth to that we can't stop. Certainly the Iraqis don't think we can stop it. New opinion polls show they had their faith in the United States is at the lowest ever. For all the successes of the whack-a-mole campaign in Anbar province, let's see, I got these polls out here. Do you think that the increase in U.S. forces in the last 6 months has made security better or worse or had no effect? In the areas where the U.S. troops were deployed, 18% said better, 70% said worse. Elsewhere in Iraq, 12% said it made it better, 68% said it made it worse. 47% of Iraqis say we need to leave immediately. Immediately. Heck, even most Democrats don't think we can leave immediately. How about Iraqis that wonder whether it was right to get rid of Saddam Hussein all along? Was it right that the U.S. Invaded? Well, in February 04, only 39% said it was wrong. Now it's 63%. For all the brutality of Saddam Hussein, 63% of Iraqis think that the invasion was somewhat or absolutely wrong. And heck, I know the Kurds 100% supported it. Take them out of the equation and watch the numbers go up even higher. More and more say the situation in Iraq is going badly, 78% now versus only 52% 2 years ago. They think the situation will get worse. That's Iraqis speaking. Iraqis don't want us there. Now, there is an argument, and I understand the argument, and I respect the argument. It's Colin Powell's argument. It's the Pottery Barn argument. The argument, if you break it, you bought it. That we destroyed Iraq, people are suffering because of it, we owe it to them to fix it. Like I said, I respect that argument. I understand that argument. Not the one about oil or permanent military bases or weapons of mass destruction or Al-Qaeda or any of that. Just the argument that we ruined their lives. It's our job to fix it. That's Colin Powell's argument. And I would respect it if the Iraqi people thought so. But to me, the Iraqi people are a lot like a guy that owns a shop of fine china. And a drunk man walks in the shop. And the person, the shop owner, says, you know what, I think maybe you should come in another time when you're sober. And the drunk man says, hey, I want to buy some fine china. And he bumps into a post holding up glass shelves and millions of dollars in expensive crystal, or well, let's just say thousands of dollars, crash to the ground and are destroyed. And the drunk says, I'll fix it, please. I'll put it all back together. And the shop owner says, just get out. Get out of my store. Yes, I wish you could fix it. Yes, I wish you could pay me back to fix it. But you know what you could do best right now? Leave. Or you'll only make things worse. That's what the Iraqi people are saying to us. Yes, we're angry at you for breaking our country. But it's been 5 years now. And you're trying to fix it. You're making it worse. And to the American people, I say, how are we going to fight America's true enemies? I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I believe 9/11 happened, and we were attacked by Al-Qaeda. And I believe Osama bin Laden is a real threat. So why is he sitting fat and pretty, or thin and pretty, in Pakistan? Safely. Heck, one of the reasons I may vote for Barack Obama, and maybe some of you won't, is his saying that if we knew that we had actionable intelligence against Osama bin Laden, would we bomb Pakistan? Sure we would. And we should, in my view. If you disagree, call in and let me know. That's self-defense. He attacked us, we could attack him back. It's very, very different from the war in Iraq. But there is a conservative argument to be made. There is a pro-military argument to be made. There is American defense argument to be made for why we should not be in Iraq. We are putting all our eggs in one basket. We do have real enemies. Yes, we do. And we are weaker. We are weaker in fighting them if all our troops are in Iraq. Got Malon on the line. Malon, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. I just had one question for you. It was I had listened to the BBC this morning, and they had mentioned that when Petraeus was going to be giving his report, that it had not been checked over or changed or whatever by the White House. And then I heard from other reports that it had been the White House, and I guess it had been cherry picked, as they say. Do you know which is the story on that?
That's
story.
A great question. Yeah, and the answer is nuanced, honestly. At first, the reports came out that people thought Petraeus would write his own report. And then it came out, well, no, the White House was going to go over the report and make some changes. And that was confirmed, that the White House would make some changes to the report. But then Petraeus came and gave testimony before Congress and insisted that his testimony was his own. So I think the answer is the White House has cherry-picked the report, but I do believe that General Petraeus is telling what he believes to be the truth to Congress. I don't really dispute what Petraeus is saying. In other words, that the whack-a-mole strategy has worked, that indeed in Anbar province we have had some success, even though we've had no or negative success in Baghdad and elsewhere. The problem is that it doesn't achieve any goals. If we have a little bit of military success here or there, when Petraeus himself admits the problem isn't military, it's political. It's warring factions in Iraq. It's Al-Qaeda in Iran helping those warring factions. And we cannot win this war militarily.
Well, he did say that military was not going to be the way we would win this situation. Isn't that what
exactly
he basically said?
So if we can't win it militarily, then why are we going around praising a small military victory? That is the essence. You hit it on the head, Malon. That is the essence of the real problem with this whole report. General Petraeus has admitted that we cannot win this war with the military. And then he says, look at how well the military has done in this small example of Anbar province.
But I don't think that the White House really wants to hear that exactly.
I'm sure they don't.
They want to hear
I'm sure they don't. And that's why. And so I'm not attacking Petraeus. I mean, I think he's a man trying to do his job. I mean, he was chosen.
I honestly think I've heard from so many people that he is a decent man.
Right,
so,
right. This isn't about Petraeus. It's about the overall strategy.
I don't know who he is. Is he the embassy?
Oh, Crocker?
Ambassador or something?
He is our ambassador to Iraq, yes.
Okay. I have
he's
that
a political
right
crony.
Okay, that's all, Mark. And thanks for taking my phone call.
Thanks for calling in. Crocker's just a political hack. I mean, he's not really to be taken seriously. The heart of the question is, if you note the delay, it's every single time the president talks, we're making progress, success is around the corner, they're in the final throes, just give us 6 more months, then 6 more months, and then after that, 6 more months, and then after that, 6 more months. It's just like Vietnam, my friends. They will keep asking for 6 months and 6 months and 6 months. Until suddenly you've got 10 years. We've been at this for 5 years now. a war against a country that never attacked us. And in doing that, on this anniversary of September 11th, we have forgotten a necessary war against people that did attack us. That's my point of view, and that's it for today. This is Mark Levine, signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. In Iraq today, a top Sunni sheikh from the Anbar province who was working with the U.S. to battle al-Qaeda was killed by a roadside bomb near his home. When President Bush visited Iraq last week, the two shook hands at a public meeting. Officials say his murder will be a setback for U.S. efforts. This evening, President Bush will address the nation from the Oval Office to announce he will withdraw 30,000 troops from Iraq by next July, starting with 5,700 out by the end of this year. That will bring the U.S. force in Iraq back to the pre-surge levels of 130,000. The president will ask Americans for patience in the televised address and urge them to take a fresh look at the war in Iraq. Most Democrats are not satisfied with the president's decision. Democratic Senator Carl Levin, the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, says the announcement, quote, creates and provides an illusion of change. The latest NBC Wall Street Journal poll finds that President Bush's approval rating on the Iraq War has gone up slightly. 30% now say they approve of how President Bush has handled the war. That is up from 22% who approved in July. Saudi Arabia may skip an upcoming Middle East peace conference called by the U.S. Saudi leaders say unless it addresses the Palestinian refugee situation, they will not attend. A day after he announced his resignation, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was hospitalized. He is said to be suffering from stress and exhaustion. Doctors say he will be in the hospital for at least 3 to 4 days. Two additional strong earthquakes hit the Indonesian island of Sumatra today, a day after yesterday's powerful 8.4 magnitude quake. A little more than a dozen people have been killed. Although the aftershocks continue, the tsunami threat warnings have been canceled.